finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/needle. That's ZipRecruiter.com/needle. ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
It's almost here, Bears fans. Game 1 of the 100th season of the NFL. Bears-Packers. Trubisky. Rodgers. All eyes will be on Soldier Field as the oldest rivalry in football is renewed. Count on 670 The Score to get you ready for this epic matchup. Broadcasting live from the new Hyundai Studios. We are Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Radio.com Sports Station.
The Score!
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald of the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
It's strange, and I wonder if you're experiencing this too. It's strange to cover a football team, because I've done it before, and covering a team where the kicker is such a story is so unusual. Because even as someone who does it for a living and follows the entire 53-man roster or the entire 90-man roster in August down to the final cuts, I mean, there's years you don't even think about what's going on at kicker. There's teams that don't have two kickers in camp. And you, it's not even on your radar of something to talk about, think about, write about at all. And whereas here, with this potential Super Bowl team, that is the dominant storyline of the Bears, is kicker. Isn't that weird to you?
It's very weird.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Good afternoon, everybody. It is great to be with you here at 670thescore.com. No, I am not Lawrence Holmes. You may have noticed that, but Lawrence is off for the day, and it's Hub Arker sitting in for him until 2 o'clock. Looking forward to getting to spend the next couple hours with you all. Obviously, we've got some NFL action tonight, so we'll be talking about the Chicago Bears' final preseason. Actually, NFL action, that's a bit of a stretch. We've got the final exhibition game, which we think will be interesting, if for no other reason, because there are a number of players on the bubble, no question about that. And the Bears are going to have to make some final roster decisions. The time has come. Obviously, we're going to talk a little Chicago Cubs baseball. And we've got some great guests for you. Tony Andracki from NBC Sports is here to talk about the Chicago Cubs. At 1 o'clock, my buddy Mark Grody will be here in studio with me. Mark, of course, not only our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score, but he is the sideline reporter for all the live broadcasts of Bears games on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. And he'll be on the sidelines tonight, as a matter of fact, all the action, and of course all 16 weeks of the regular season, and we certainly hope into the playoffs as well. I am going to try and stay with the rundown, though, and that means that when Lawrence comes on every day at noon, the first thing we do is take a quick look at what's going on in the sports world since we last visited with you, since Lawrence last visited with you. And I believe we're going to start with the Chicago White Sox.
Run them down!
The Rundown.
Yes, Hub. Thanks a lot for being here, actually, Hub. Thank you for joining us. The first part of the Rundown is the Chicago White Sox, and they got dominated early.
Deep left field, home run number 20. The eighth Twins player to hit a 20th home run this year. is Jonathan Schoop. And Minnesota has a major league record on the grand scale and a 3-1 lead in this ballgame. That ball's crushed to left field. Down the line toward the pole, and it is gone. Jonathan Schoop, second of the ballgame. And the Twins build the lead to 6-2. That's cranked to left center field, and this will get up and out for Garber, and well out of the ballpark to make it 8-2 Minnesota, and they continue to pound away with home runs.
Sox lose to the Twins 8-2, but here is Rick Renteria on last night's loss.
You know, we had a couple of nice plays by Yoan at third base, so validating again that he's pretty good over there. And then the relief corps tried, you know, keep us in the game, albeit it kind of got out of hand a little bit with Fry, but we were right there, even in spite of the little bit of work that Dad had to do through the third inning.
That, of course, Rick Renteria, the manager of the Chicago White Sox. We will move on now to the NL Central race. You've got Brewers and Cardinals getting together first part of this week. The Brewers, no help to the Chicago Cubs early, but they do manage to avoid getting swept at home by the Cardinals.
An out away from a victory and a 3-3 homestand. This crowd of over 33,000 on its feet, and Edmund on the first pitch. Fly ball into left field. Grisham is there, and that's the ball game. The Brewers win. Craig Counsell and the Brew Crew snap a three-game skid. Josh Hader with save number 26, his first since August 5th.
I know Cubs fans pulling for the Brewers felt a bit strange, but they beat the Cardinals 4-1. They end the Cardinals' six-game winning streak, snap a losing streak of their own. The Cards are still two games up on the Cubs in the division. Milwaukee now 3.5 back for the second wild card spot, and that, of course, would be 3.5 behind the Chicago Cubs. Now, speaking of those Chicago Cubs, went on the road earlier this week, off day in New York on Monday, got a big win, big performance from Yu Darvish on a Tuesday night. And last night, they gave us a bit of a surprise. They get a hold of Noah Syndergaard very early.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a looper, shallow right, coming in Conforto. That's a base hit. One run is in. Schwarber heading to the plate. The throw, the slide, the tag. He's safe. He's safe. Cubs lead 4-0. Two-run single, Addison Russell. 4-0 Cubs.
Well, it sounded good, didn't it? It actually got a lot better. Not just 4-0, but 10-1 until the Mets started to fight back and make a game of it.
Again, Hendricks delivers to McNeil. He rips one to deep right field. Going back is Castellanos. He looks up. This one is long gone. A two-run home run for Jeff McNeil. Cubs 10, Mets 3 here in the fifth. 1-1 offering. Davis drills one to deep right field. Going back is Castellanos, and this one's gone. Back-to-back home runs for the Mets. Cubs 10, Mets 4 here in the fifth.
Infield back, of course. Ground ball to second. A run will score. Russell's going to throw to first for out number two. That run is unearned. It is now a 10-7 ball game, but now there are two outs in the eighth inning. That was a very big out.
Well, it was, and then Rowan Wick with a tough eighth inning to get to the ninth, and in the ninth, Greg Kimbrell comes in with a 10-7 lead. He gives up a single to Wilson Ramos, the hottest hitter in the National League right now. And then Kimbrell walks Raji Davis. Things got very tight, but with two outs and two on, Kimbrell gets that last out.
The 1-0 to Frazier from Kimbrell. A swing and a high fly ball should be playable. Shallow right, Castellanos is there. Cubs win the ball game. I can almost hear millions of Cub fans breathe a collective sigh of relief at this moment. The Cubs built up a 10-1 lead. It turned out to be enough, but only barely, as the Mets had the tying run at the plate when the ball game ended. Greg Kimbrell gets the save.
Yeah, you know, Pat, I'll admit it. I was on the edge of the lazy boy, not sure what was going to happen, breathed a sigh of relief. And generally, Joe Maddon has spent a lot of time this summer saying, hey, things aren't so bad, putting a positive spin on it. Last night in the post game, he said, well, we were great in the first two innings.
We were awesome the first three innings. My favorite hit of the night was Addison Russell's blooper to right. Being a purist, that was a great at-bat. And then, of course, Happy followed it up. But Addison doing what he did right there was large for us. Up and down the lineup, and we just had great at-bats through Syndergaard. And then when their pen came in, we didn't fare as well.
No, they did not, but they did get the win, 10-7. Kyle Ryan gets the win for the Cubs. Noah Syndergaard gets the loss. And Greg Kimbrell gets his 12th save of the season. And you know, folks, while Kimbrell did pitch his way into trouble, it was really pretty watching him pitch his way out. And listening to Len and JD on the call on television at the end, they made the point that one thing about Kimbrell, you watch him, there never seems to be a bead of sweat. I mean, he had me going, I will tell you that for sure. But he seemed to be in complete command the entire time. So that wraps up the news of the day since we last visited. We've got some extra goodies for you today. Chris Emma will be with us at 12:45 and 1:40 with some stuff that he has sent in on the Chicago Bears beat. We've also got some sound from Theo, who visited with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight just a little while ago. The Cubs certainly do keep it interesting. You got to give them that. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. And Tony, we're off. You know, a little hectic at the start. My first time in the new studio. So since it's radio and television, I'll give you guys a little secret. It took me the first 6 minutes to find the connection for my headphone and was working a little blind in here. But I'll tell you what, it is sharp. I see what we've been waiting for now. This has been in the works for quite a while. I know the guys have been broadcasting here from the Hyundai studio for several weeks now, but it is my first time in here a bit solo. Of course, you're never solo when you got Tony Gill spinning the dials. Of course, Tony, executive producer for Lawrence, every day of the year. And I'm sure, Lawrence will be back at it, very soon. But I get the next hour and a half, hour and 45 or so to get to visit with you guys. I am fascinated by the Chicago Cubs baseball team right now. Just, you know, don't know where to turn next. I think people were so frustrated with the sweep to the Nationals over the weekend, and there was a kind of a dialogue out there, and I apologize if I'm going against what's been discussed earlier this morning. I'm actually running over here from doing a little bit of our early season NFL TV, and I didn't get to hear the show, but I know people were like, oh my God, you know, they're hot, they're doing great, and then they are absolutely horrible against Washington. I don't really totally buy that. I mean, you know, they were really bad on Friday with the Leicester start against the Nationals. That was a lost game. But you go back to Saturday, I mean, Q was pretty good. I mean, there was four or five seeing eye ground balls that were really the difference in that game. The score wasn't close, and it felt uncomfortable, and they weren't hitting, and they seemed flat and all that. So I know it had a bad feel to it, but when you really dig into what happened, that Saturday was not a complete, you know, flop. And then on Sunday, they're right there in extras. You know, it's a shame that Chatwood didn't have it late. So even though they did get swept in three, it wasn't the kind of, at least to me, it was not the kind of completely disappointing lull that we've seen from this team so many times this year. Now, that said, I'm not going to pretend I expect them to go out on the road and take the first two from the Mets, especially with Stroman and Syndergaard on the mound and with no Anthony Rizzo. But hey, you know, this team, every time we think we have it figured out, they turn around and they start going in a different direction. You've got the reigning Cy Young winner tonight, DeGrom, going against John Lester, who has, as I just said, been struggling mightily, an awful outing last Friday. You know, what do we expect from Lester? I mean, generally when he does this, and we're ready to say, okay, we're near the end, he turns it around and gives you a real strong outing. So, tonight's ball game should be very interesting. Now, obviously, with the Cardinals and the Brewers both off, you'd love to see them pick up that half game, get the win, stay hot, get the sweep tonight. But I think you got to keep it in perspective. I mean, that's what we're pulling for going in. If somehow they don't, still going on the road, getting two out of three second straight road series, with 30 still to play, you still got to be looking at the big picture in the long run. So tonight is really, you're kind of playing with house money. And if they can get the win,
then all the excitement's going to start to build again as they come back home for a crucial series with the Brewers. So 312-644-6767 is our phone number. We're going to visit, as I said, with Tony Andracki in just a little while. Actually, Tony will be in about 10 minutes. Going to take a short break first. But if you have any questions, any thoughts, any concerns that you want to get in real quick, again, 312-644-6767. I will, during our first break, figure out where the text line is in this new studio. I'm not going to worry about it right now, but if you want to text us.
I mean, do you really want to look at the text line?
Tony, I don't, but it's part of the job.
It's a very scary place.
I don't mind looking at it. It's just you got to know when to take it seriously and when to ignore it. I found it now. It's because it's so big and so right in front of my face. I thought I was looking at my studio board and Tony was talking to me, but it's not. It's a texter reminding me that the Cubs have actually won 7 of their last 10. And yeah, I mean, the reality is, that they were looking as good as they had at any point in the second half until Washington came to town. As I just kind of laid out, at least in my way of thinking, I didn't think Washington was as bad as it felt and as bad as it appeared on a quick glance. And now with these two wins in New York, this team is poised to go in the right direction. Are we comfortable though can you trust Lester? You got Cole Hamels out, probably to be a short paternity leave. I mean, he did have the good start his last time out, but that was after a couple bombings there. I think obviously you feel good about Yu Darvish and Quintana the way they're pitching. I'm not going to worry about Kyle Hendricks. I know, you know, last night was certainly frustrating, but hey, you get up 10-1. That's not the easiest thing in the world, and he seemed to lose focus a little bit. I'm sure he'll be fine next time out. And then you look at the bullpen. They keep rolling these different arms out, and it's not pretty at times, but the reality is, you know, you look at 10-1, and you have to hang on to win 10-7, and you're saying to yourself, oh, boy, the bullpen must not have gotten it done. The bullpen was great. It was Kyle. I mean, you know, he left with the score 10-5, and that sixth run that did come across was on him. He was charged with all six runs. So really, you know, you've got 4 1/3 innings out of your bullpen with just the one unearned run against Wick. That was a pretty good job last night. You know, Kyle Ryan continues to be the answer from the left side. And as I was saying at the top with Kimbrel, I'm starting to get a good feeling about it. You know, it was really, you wondered, I think we knew it wasn't about him or the Cubs or other teams, you know, during the off season and the spring and the early summer when he was out there waiting. That was more about the changes in baseball bureaucracy and red tape and free agency and owners trying to save money, and just the new free agency landscape. It wasn't necessarily a comment on him, but you couldn't ignore the fact that he did not finish well last year, that in fact he had lost the closer's job by the time Boston got to the end of the World Series, and it was Chris Sale who had to come in and close out that clinching game. So, you know, at the end of the day, he comes in, he's got to get set, he's not in shape, he's been pitching his way into it. He's had some moments like last night where he created a little trouble for himself, but man, you know, once that tying run came to the plate, he took over and he was in command. And I think you feel pretty good about the closer spot. I feel real good about Ian Kinsler, and I'm trusting Rowan Wick at this point and Ryan. Now, the other guys have been a little bit up and down, but if one or two more can get hot, if Steve Cishek can get consistent, you know, I think you feel pretty good about where the bullpen is at. We are going to have to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we'll bring in somebody who knows a lot more about it than I do. Tony Andracki does a great job on the Cubs beat for NBC Sports. He's going to join us in just a couple minutes right here at The Score.
Broadcasting live from the new Hyundai Studios at The Score, you're listening to the voice of the Chicago sports fan. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Test drive a new Hyundai, get a $50 reward card. Terms apply.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Wendy's. Crazy about bacon? Then you got to get to Wendy's Bacon Fest, because nobody does bacon like Wendy's. Josh Donaldson returned to Toronto on Monday night and was greeted by a video tribute celebrating his 4 years with the Blue Jays, which included an MVP season in 2015. Earlier this season, Bryce Harper, the National League's MVP that same year, also returned to his old ballpark and also received a video tribute from his old team, the Washington Nationals. That's where the similarity ends. Donaldson received a lengthy standing ovation at the end of his video. Harper was booed throughout the video, when he was introduced, when he was on deck, and when he came to bat. When he struck out in his first at-bat, the Nationals' Twitter feed wrote, "Thank you, next." Classy stuff. Harper homered later that night. Donaldson, now with the Braves, didn't homer on Monday. Maybe he appreciated fans who appreciated him. I'm John Feinstein.